The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I identify myself as a Bible-believing, unashamed follower of Jesus Christ. I believe the Bible, I follow Jesus, and I'm not ashamed to say so. The answer is not in the next election. The answer is not in Washington, D.C. The answer to America's problems is in the pulpit and the pews of America's churches. That's what we do here daily on Bob Burney Live. We listen, we think, and then we look at the Word of God, evaluate it, and develop our worldview from God's point of view.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the participants and may not be the views or opinions of the staff, management, or advertisers of WRFD.
Isn't it strange how that you take two pieces of material, you can take wood, you can take plastic, you can take anything, and you can put them in any configuration until you put them perpendicular to each other and make a cross? The Word of God. Read it. Obey it. That is the answer to America's problems.
Call 1-877-BOB-LIVE. Bob Burney Live.
Welcome to Bob Burney Live. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me on this Wednesday afternoon. And speaking of Wednesday, if you live down on the south side of Columbus, anywhere near Frank Road, I have the privilege of teaching at Central Baptist Church tonight. Central Baptist is on Frank Road on the south side of Columbus. Wonderful, wonderful church. And I have the privilege of opening God's Word to those sweet people tonight at 7 o'clock. And then the next three Wednesday nights, I will be at Genoa Baptist Church in Westerville. The next three. So tonight at Central Baptist, and then the next three. The rest of the Wednesday nights in September, I'll be at Genoa Baptist Church in Westerville on Wednesday nights. And I love, absolutely love meeting our friends, our listeners. Joy and I both just love the opportunity, the privilege, the honor of meeting you folks. So tonight, if you do not have a good Bible-believing church to attend, I'd love to see you at Central Baptist, Frank Road, on the south side of Columbus tonight. Speaking of privilege and honor, I don't mean this in a name-dropping way. I really don't. But just wanted to share with you, had a wonderful meeting with Governor DeWine this morning down at the State House in the Cabinet Room at the State House. It was facilitated by Chris Long, who is president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And I was honored to be one of those invited to participate. There were, probably seven of us, I guess, that sat down with the governor. He was very gracious. We probably spent an hour at a table in wide open discussion. He was very open and wanted to know our questions, our comments. Most of the people there were pastors or church leaders in the state of Ohio. And I've met him on several occasions before, but this was by far the longest and most informal time with the governor. Found him to be very engaging, very intelligent. This is an intelligent man. Found him very humble. Found him very genuine and very humble. I'm pretty good at spotting phonies, particularly politicians. pretty good after all these years of spotting a politician who is telling you what he thinks you want to hear or she wants you to hear. I didn't get that impression from Mike DeWine at all. And just very, very appreciative. One thing that he emphasized over and over and over again was the fact that he knows that the church is the answer to cultures and society's problems, not government. It is God, not government. He stated that in several different ways, that the church must be more involved in their communities, dealing with jails and prisons, because, again, the local church does a much better job of that than government. Rehabilitation, mentorship in public schools, which, by the way, is something that the evangelical church in America and in Ohio is missing the boat on. It is very possible to get into public schools as mentors, and it's desperately needed. Particularly in the inner city and minority communities, but it's actually needed everywhere. Mentorship in our schools. Churches should be involved in that. We have talked about the release time Bible studies that churches can do by law here in the state of Ohio. He talked about the drug epidemic and the place of the spiritual needs of people. Anyway, I thought it was a very profitable meeting, very open, very honest, very transparent. He honestly wanted to hear our thoughts, our concerns. Several of us expressed our concern about religious liberty, particularly pastors. You and I have talked often about the Pastor Protection Act, which still has not passed here in Ohio. And several of us expressed to the governor the desperate need of passing this legislation that would protect pastors and local churches from violating their own personally held biblical convictions in weddings that they perform, who or whom they rent out their facilities, their venues to. And I think the governor was very open to that. It needs to pass the Pastor Protection Act. So anyway, we were scheduled to meet about 45 minutes. One of his associates said, he kind of broke into the conversation. He says, well, we have other meetings and we're sorry, but we're going to have to adjourn this. And the governor said, wait a minute. I think there are some others who want to ask questions. Anybody else? And indeed, there were two or three other pastors that wanted to ask questions, make comments. And so I don't agree with everything that Mike DeWine has done. And I'm sure that I won't agree with everything that he does in the future. But I have found him to be very personable, very transparent, very genuine, very sincere. And of the politicians I've known through the years, I think one of the politicians least motivated by political goals and aims, but more by principle. We talked about the heartbeat bill, and we thanked him for signing the heartbeat bill into law. And he said, it's something I had to do. This is something I feel very strongly about. I have paid a price for this politically, and I'm sure that he has, but he said, this is something I had to do. No doubt, no hesitancy. I signed it. I'm glad. We have a very strong pro-life governor. A lot of Second Amendment people are probably not going to be happy with some of the suggestions coming out of the administration on gun control and so forth. We'll have to see. He released his 17-point plan a couple of weeks ago after the tragedy in Dayton. But that's still in development, and we'll just have to see. But anyway, it was a good meeting, and very grateful and humbled that I had the opportunity to be just a small part of the meeting, pardon me, down at the State House this morning. And by the way, just one more thing, the governor emphasized again his desire to set churches free to do what God has called them to do without government interference. And he was very honest. He says, hey, if you want state money, if you want government money, there it comes with strings. He said, that's not my fault. That's just the way it is. It's the way the political system works. So we just can't willy-nilly give out money to any church or any faith-based organization that wants it. But he made it very clear that his desire was as much as possible for the government to get out of the way of the church to do what the church does best. So good meeting. Good meeting. My telephone number, 877-BOB-LIVE. When we come back, an update on those middle school kids who just did something unbelievably gross to their teachers last May. You may remember, I've got an update. You're listening to Bob Burney Live.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I don't know how you could forget this story. Back in May, seven middle school students, all 14-year-olds, students at Olentangy Heights Middle School were charged with doing just something so gross. They had a cooking contest in one of their classes at the middle school. And these seven kids conspired together to put their own bodily fluids. I'll leave it at that. All right? Their own bodily fluids into the food and then serve it, unknown, of course, to their teachers. And they did. The teachers ate the tainted food. Of course, there are no secrets among teenagers, so they put everything on social media. I don't remember exactly, but I think one of the kids was kind of bragging about, oh, cool, look what we did to the teachers. It was so funny. Well, all seven of the students have now been officially charged. It's taken quite a while for the Delaware County prosecutors to investigate and file charges. Here is the story. Seven teenagers are now charged for putting bodily fluids inside the food that they fed to their teachers. Delaware County prosecutors filed charges yesterday against the Olentangy Heights Middle School students. The incident happened in May. All 14-year-olds and so forth. One student charged with felony assault on a teacher. A second suspect charged with complicity to assault. Third suspect charged with assault on a teacher. Fourth student charged with complicity to assault. A fifth student is charged with assault on a teacher. Two other students charged with complicity to assault a teacher for participating in the act. Each of the students will face a judge in Delaware County Juvenile Court over the next 3 weeks. An attorney representing the kids has basically not defended them. I mean, how do you defend this? The attorney representing four of the students released this statement. Everyone has worked very hard this summer to resolve these cases in a fair manner that takes into account the disgusting nature of this prank while also balancing the fact that we're talking about eighth grade boys. This is an example of how easily influenced kids are by what they see on YouTube, social media. They are learning an extremely hard lesson. We feel horrible for these teachers. Well, I do too. Just gross and disgusting. So the school district, because of privacy standards, have not reported that whether the kids have been disciplined at school or not. I can't imagine that they have not been disciplined, but the school district is remaining silent on that. And then this story. Oh, before I get this story, and it's just a horribly tragic story. A program note at 5 o'clock, Dr. Robert Jeffress, pastor of the historic First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, will be joining me live. That's at 5 o'clock. Dr. Robert Jeffress will be joining me. One of my favorite guests. I love this guy. I really do. We don't see each other very often, but I count him a dear friend. And he will be joining us at 5 o'clock. All right, here's this story out of Warren County. A girl who is now 20, Brooke Schuyler Richardson, has now been charged with murder of her newborn daughter. This happened 2 years ago when she was 18 years old. Let me read the story. Just hours after allegedly killing her newborn daughter and secretly burying the remains in her family's backyard, an Ohio teen texted her mom, "My belly is back, and I am speechless." In other words, she didn't like being pregnant. And she texted her mother after she killed the baby, buried the baby in their backyard, text her mother about how unbelievably happy. She says, this is the text that she sent to her mother after she killed her newborn baby. "I am literally speechless with how happy I am. My belly is back. OMG. Prosecutors believe that she killed her baby on May 6th or May 7th. The child's body wasn't found until July 14th. And then it gets real complicated. She went to a doctor. The doctor told her that she was pregnant. She was shocked. She didn't realize she was pregnant. Begged the doctor not to tell anybody, especially her parents and so on and so forth. Prosecutors are saying that part of the blame is the mother, quote, who was obsessed with her daughter's appearance and constantly monitoring her weight. Evidently, she had an eating disorder. But get this, her defense team, this girl's defense team, claims the child was stillborn and the teen reacted appropriately. Okay. Now, there's no evidence that the baby was born stillborn, but even burying it in the backyard without telling anybody, that's appropriate? Trial will be coming up. She could spend many, many years in prison. We'll be back.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.